Hollow. Yeah, yeah, you'll remember it. I said it before. Boy, the tongue is just so thick. It's hard to wrap around these things. But, you know, so I've read the Hebrew, and you heard that it starts off, as so many of the recent portions have, the Yerdaber Adonai El Moshe L'mor. God spoke to Moses, right? We heard it over and over again, and we're going to hear it over and over again to come because it starts so many of our portions. In fact, in Leviticus, the last book of the Torah that we were in, 6 out of the 10 portions started with that phrase or something very, very similar. In Numbers, it's 8 out of the 10. I mean, I could just set up a little recording here and hit the button. And here's the first verse of the Torah portion. But that's not what we do. 70% of those two books, Numbers and Leviticus, 70% start with the same phrase. Adonai spoke to Moses. And that's just the first verse of the portions. 39 times in the book of Numbers, that phrase or something very similar, such as Adonai spoke to Moses and Aaron. 39 times Adonai spoke. Now, of course, we know that when Adonai speaks, and you've heard, I don't know, you must have heard it. I don't talk just to hear myself talk. Well, Adonai does not talk just to hear himself talk. That's for true. That's for sure. But he does it not just so that Israel could hear, but he did it so that all men could hear. And not just so that they could hear, but they could hear and do. They could shema, right? It was the whole, that's what it is. He was saying something, and he was setting it up. Here I'm saying something because I'm going to give you instructions. They were words of instructions, but not just words of instructions either. They were words of life. That's what Torah is. Words of life to us. He speaks, we listen, and we hear what is expected of us, and then we should go and do. He speaks so that we can come alongside him and work along with him. Now, don't get me wrong. He can do it all by himself. But he chooses to partner along with us. He can do it all by himself. We cannot do it all by ourselves. That's not the way it works. He wants to come alongside us. He wants us to walk with him. He wants us to do with him. His desire is to bless us as we follow his instructions and his commandments. Now, Adonai created the world, but he never left. You know, there are those who say he just created and left us all on our own. That's not Adonai. That's not our Lord who loves us. Some say he created us, created the world, and then he just kind of stepped back to see what we were going to do with it. That's not a loving God either. That's not who Adonai is. His desire is to bless us and be with us. Not to leave us, never to leave us, but to be with us. Let's take a look at Isaiah 63, verse 14, as our first verse of the day. This is Adonai's desire. Like cattle that go down into a valley, the Ruach Adonai gave them rest. So you led your people to make yourself a glorious name. just as he led the cattle as a shepherd into the valley for rest, it says, so he leads his people. And it's always just for one purpose, to bring glory to himself by blessing the people. That's what his heart's desire is, to bless the ones he's created, us. And by doing that, he will bring glory to himself. This is the reason that we need to keep relationship with Adonai close, to follow hard after him, to hear his words, and to come alongside. It's the reason we can't just slack off, creating space between Adonai and ourselves, because that space is what creates troubles and problems and bad heart attitudes. Now here's an example of this. Mark 10. Starting in verse 32 of Mark 10, it says, they being the disciples of Adonai, as well as disciples of Yeshua, as well as Yeshua, they were on the way going up to Jerusalem, and Yeshua was going ahead of them, and they were amazed, while those who followed were fearful. Again, Yeshua took the 12 aside and began to tell them what was going to happen to him. Notice what was going on here. Yeshua is out front, just like he always should be, leading his people. He was out front. The next, there was a group of people, and they were amazed at what Yeshua was doing and what Yeshua was saying. They weren't far off from him, and they were amazed to see it and hear it. And then there was another group of people further behind, and it says they were fearful. Just like that physical distance, they were not close to Adonai in the physical, and they were not close to Adonai in the spiritual. They were not close to Yeshua, and it caused them fear. Being separated, as I said, is that place of problem, is that place of trouble for us. The further away we are, the more danger there is. Dangers of poor heart attitudes, dangers of harm coming to us. Separation from Adonai gives way to thoughts and activities that are not aligned with him. That separation allows for murmuring. It allows for complaining. It allows for troublemakers to sneak in, to get between us and Adonai, or us and Yeshua. And an example of that is found in Numbers 11. Numbers 11, verses 1 and 2 says, the people were murmuring in the ears of Adonai about hardship. And when Adonai heard, his anger burned. The fire of Adonai blazed among them, ravaging the outskirts of the camp. The people cried out to Moses, and Moses prayed to Adonai, and the fire died out. It says, he ravaged the outskirts of the camp. Those who didn't press in, those on the outside, those are the ones where the murmuring was happening. Those are the ones who are causing trouble. And Adonai took care of the trouble by coming and ravaging the outskirts. Those who are pressed into the middle of the camp, those who are the closest to the tabernacle, those were safe. they knew the safety that was that's there when they're close to Adonai. That's the correct place to be. We need to make sure that we keep our eyes on Adonai and we maintain that close relationship with him. We need to make sure that we see what's happening in our midst. The word tells us how to follow Adonai in Proverbs 4, starting in 25. Let your eyes look directly ahead and fix your gaze straight in front of you. Clear a level path for your feet so that your ways will be firm. Do not turn to the right or left, divert your foot from evil. And I believe what we're seeing in these verses really are a partnership when we come alongside Adonai. We do what we can do. We look straight ahead. We fix our gaze upon him. We don't move to the left or to the right. But I believe here's where the partnership comes in. It says, clear a level path for your feet. I believe that is what Adonai does for us. That heavy lifting, the moving of mountains, the raising of valleys to make level ground, that's not expected from us. That's expected from him. And he will do it when we're in partnership with him. He will do it when we're there with him. We're to keep our eyes on Adonai. Now we know that we say that right here, our Torah, you know, how often do I say, this is the scroll, this is Torah, this is our living word representative of Yeshua. We need to keep our eyes on it. We need to read it over and over and over again. In many congregations, when the Torah is processed around, you'll see people actually, as it goes around, they turn with it. And they never allow it out of their sight. They never allow their back to be towards the Torah scroll. As it goes around, they're like sunflowers with the sun. As it moves, they move with it. And you'll see them. They just do a little circle right around in their chairs. They'll just, as it goes around, they go around with it. They want to keep Torah right straight before them, as the word says. It's not a bad practice. It's just a physical, an outward expression of our inward heart to keep Torah directly in front of us and never to turn our back on it. Just like for the sunflower, it's our source of energy, our source of strength, our source of life. So we give it the honor that we do. Why we stand when we open the ark. Why we stand when we put it away. To give it the honor and the glory that it deserves. Now, as I've said many times, we're not worshiping the scroll, but we're honoring the one who gives it. And that's what we do. So, how do we work alongside Adonai? How do we walk along with him? And I think there are three things here. They're by faith, by prayer, and by action. Three things. And as we go through them, you're going to see they're pretty well intertwined with each other. It's hard to do one without the others. I mean, there are those who will pull on that one thread. But what happens when you pull on a thread? It all starts to fall apart. So let's take a look at these. First, faith. And faith is just another way of saying trusting. It really boils down to trusting Adonai. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6 says, trust in Adonai with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. He will make your path straight. Doesn't that sound a bit like the heavy lifting that we talked about earlier, making level the ways? Faith is not just trusting in Adonai with all your heart, but it's trusting Adonai in all your heart within all of your situations, everything. Look at James 5:15, because nothing's too hard for him. It says, the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. If he has committed sin, he will be forgiven. That's the love of our God and the power of the Ruach HaKodesh to heal as well as to forgive. That's who he is. And we see this in the New Covenant many times where Yeshua himself says, your faith has healed you. Or in words very similar to that, your faith has healed you. Let's take an example of Matthew 9:20. Just then, a woman losing blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the tzitzi of his garment, him being, of course, Yeshua. For he kept saying to herself, if only I touch his garment, I will be healed. But then Yeshua turned and saw her. Take heart, daughter, he said. Your faith has made you well. That very hour, the woman was healed. It was by the power and authority of Yeshua that the woman was healed. But it was by partnering alongside with her faith, that the woman was healed. And there are at least 9 other times in the Gospels that the words are there, or something very similar that says, your faith has healed you. Your faith has made you well. Your faith. It's basically saying your faith has set you free from the shackles of the enemy. That's who he is. He's the one who sets us free. He's the one who causes miracles to happen when we partner with him. Not that he can't do them himself. I can say that over and over and over again. But he wants to partner with us. Now, the opposite is true as well, though. When we don't have faith, miracles don't happen as freely. Matthew 13, I'm going to read 53, 54, then I'm going to skip a couple of verses to 57 and 58. Because we see an example here of the opposite of partnering with Adonai. Now when Yeshua had finished these parables, he left that place. Coming into his hometown, he began to teach them in their synagogue. So they were amazed. Where did this fellow get his wisdom and these mighty works, they said. And they took offense at him. But Yeshua said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and in his own house. And he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. They were amazed, it says. They heard his words. They knew of some of the things he had done in the past. They heard his teachings. They were amazed at his teachings. But they refused to come and partner with them in faith. And because of this, they were denied healings. They were denied miracles in their life. They were denied their life being changed. Yeshua wanted to, but because of that lack of faith, it just was not going to happen. So that's faith. Prayer, our second thing. Prayer is but consultation and speaking with Adonai. You know, to boil it all down, that's the simplest explanation I have of prayer. Basically, talking to Adonai, consulting with him. It doesn't have to be flowery. It doesn't have to have a very specific formula. You know, it's not magical incantations that we're doing when we pray. It's just speaking to someone who's closer than a brother and yet is King of Kings. That's what we're doing. We're talking to the one and only. Now, I do believe that most powerful prayers, I said it doesn't have a formula, but they flow in a certain way. And I think the best prayers start with acknowledgement and praise of who he is. And then you go on and you give some thanks. Then you make your request of him. And you finish off with praise, honor, and glory to him. A little bit of worship. Now, does it mean every prayer has to be that way? Absolutely not. When, especially, you know, look, if I'm driving down the road and someone's about to hit me and I pray, I'm not going to go through four steps. I'm going to go right to that request. Oh, Lord, keep me safe. You know, but when you're in your prayer closet, it's nice to lift them up in praise and give them honor and glory. Do right by him, giving him praise and honor. Doesn't mean you can't make your request. It's just how you do it. Throughout Scripture, we're encouraged to seek Adonai with prayer, getting closer to him. Through our prayers, it's how we partner with him. It's how we come draw close. It's how we get his healing. It's how we get his guidance. For whatever reason, we're going into prayer mode. Prayer is the way we're going to get there. Faith, yes. You have to have the faith to back up your prayers. You know, there are some who want to pray without having faith. God, I don't know if you're up there, but. And he is a merciful and gentle, generous God who will at times answer those prayers, mostly to show his glory, to try to let this person know he is there for them. I've lost my place. Oh, Chronicles 1:16, 11 and 12. Seek Adonai and his strength. Seek his face always. Remember the wonders he has done, his signs and judgments of his mouth. We're encouraged by King David to seek Adonai always. Pray always. You know, many people, they want to pull out their prayers just when they're in trouble. But it says, always. You know, a prayer is to be used in times of trouble, but not just in times of trouble. It is a weapon to be drawn out and used, but not just in the battle all the time. It is for when the enemy surrounds us, but it's also when you're alone and when you're feeling good. It's for all times. People think, I'll pray when I'm in a situation. But I'm in a situation right now, standing before you. It's not a bad situation, I got to tell you. I like being before you. I like Adonai moving in power by the Ruach. So it's not a bad situation, but it's still a time to seek him. You're in a situation right there listening to me. It's not bad, but it's still a time to seek him. When we're sad, it's a situation. When we're angry, it's a situation. When we're tired, it's a situation. Everything's a situation. So when do we go to the Lord in prayer? All the time. That's what I'm trying to say. Well, everything's a situation, so every time's a time to go to prayer. There is no wrong time to go to prayer. Psalm 25, verse 4. Show me your ways, Adonai. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth. And teach me, for you are God, my salvation. For you I wait all day. Pray all day, wait all day. Doesn't matter what's going on at the moment. If we're not praying with our voice, we're praying in our spirit. You know, people say, how could I be praying all the time? And I used to have one of those jobs where I used to have to concentrate. It was numbers. And I would have to really concentrate on what I was doing. A lot of times I'm playing music to drown out the other things that are going on. And yes, I'm not physically saying a prayer, but in my spirit, I was still praying. I was still praising. I was still connected with Him. So is it possible to pray always? Absolutely. It's, again, it's a heart attitude that you use. And that's what it means to pray always. All right. So, faith, prayer, action. Third thing is action. It's the business of doing for Him. And this brings us back to the Torah portion. Adonai spoke to Moses and said, and it's always followed by actions to be taken. Actions the people were supposed to do. To do. We're still being spoken by Adonai, and there are still actions for us to do. Sometimes there are actions for us to take in the spiritual world, pray. Sometimes there are actions to take in the physical world, go and do. But there are actions to be taken. And therefore, everything we do should be the very best we can, because you're doing it for the Lord. Even when we're resting, we're doing for Adonai in some way. Look what it says in Genesis 2:15. Then Adonai Elohim took the man and gave him rest in the Garden of Eden, in order to cultivate and watch over it. It says the man, Adam, was placed in the garden to give him rest and to cultivate and watch over it. When we're working for the Lord, it can be rest at the same time. It can also be work, make no doubt about it, but it can be rest in the Lord. And the work that Adonai wants us to be at The work that Adonai wants us to be at is to know Him and to speak of Him and to speak of His sacrifice for our salvation. He wants us to speak to others. He wants us to speak to the lost world. Sometimes it is to speak to others who are already saved, so we can build them up and hold them up. But many times it's to speak to that lost world, so that maybe the Ruach can work through us so that they're no longer lost. Look at the directions given in 2 Timothy chapter 4. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and Messiah Yeshua, who is about to judge the living and the dead at his appearance and his kingdom. Proclaim the word with an exclamation point. Proclaim the word. Be ready when it's convenient and inconvenient. Confront, rebuke, encourage with complete patience and instructions. Now, I got to tell you, this time when I read this, two out of those three words sound confrontational. Confront, rebuke, sounds like fighting words. But you need to follow it up with the rest of the verse there. It says, with complete patience and instruction. And I got to think, if we're not able to share with patience and instructions, then we're probably not doing it in the right way. If you find yourself being confrontational, or even if someone's being confrontational to you while you're trying to share, I don't think the Ruach's moving. I know there are some people who say, you know, just battle through it, hit it, keep hitting them over the head with the word. But I don't think that's the way the Ruach works most of the time. Maybe there's an exception for every rule. But I think impatience and instruction. So what does that mean? Being loving and being able to point to the word. Here's your instructions. It's not me who's saying it. Here it is. Atonement by the blood. Here it is. Leviticus 17, right there. Yeshua, the Messiah, died for you. Here it is. Here's a gospel. It's not me who's doing it. I'm partnering with the Ruach HaKodesh. I'm speaking. He's putting power to it. I don't have to worry about whether my words have great power, because he's going to do it. I don't have to worry about whether he's going to accept the word that I'm giving, because it's when the Ruach HaKodesh moves upon him that that's when it's going to happen. I can speak to someone until I'm blue in the face, but it's not until the Ruach moves that something's going to happen. So it's not up to me. I don't have to worry about it. I just need to be the one pouring out on them, pouring out in love, pouring out in patience, pouring out with patience, pouring out with instruction, pouring out his word. We need to be the co-laborer with the Ruach HaKodesh. Look what it says in 1 Corinthians, starting in 3:7. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. Now he who plants and he who waters work as one, but each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's co-workers. We are God's field. God's building. We are co-workers. We are co-laborers with Adonai. It's not by ourselves that we're able to do anything on our own. But when we co-labor, we're able to share openly and fully. Then the word has more power. Because how much power do my words have? My words don't have any power at all, I don't believe. The Ruach comes in and puts power in. You know, the newest believer can speak to someone, and when there's power behind it because the Ruach is with them, it's going to have effect. Doesn't matter who he is. John 15 says what our part is. 15:1-4, and I'm sure we all know this one. I'm going to put a little different twist on it. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he trims so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I will abide in you. The branch cannot itself produce fruit unless it abides on the vine. Otherwise, you cannot produce fruit unless you abide in me. You cannot produce fruit unless you abide in him. Or labor, co-labor with him, or trust him, or act along with him, however you want to say it. You have to be with him. Just like the fruit tree, it appears that it's the branch where the fruit grows, or maybe I should say more like the grape vine. It appears at the very end. That's where the cluster of grapes are. So you think that's what's growing the grapes, just that little piece. But if it's not attached to the vine, and if the vine's not attached to the root, there's nothing but death there. We may look and say, oh, you know, you've heard it all said, I brought so many people to the Lord. I was there when he brought so many people to the Lord, is really what they're saying. And I'll acknowledge and I'll grant them that. Because detached from the vine, they are nothing. They'll wither and be thrown into the fire. It all comes from him. And my final example is in Exodus, when the Israelites were going into battle with the Amalekites. So let's look at Exodus 17, 10, and 11. So Joshua did as Moses said and fought the Amalekites, while Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. When Moses held up his hands, Israel prevailed. But when he let down his hands, the Amalekites prevailed. When Moses held up his hands, Israel succeeded. Was there power in his hands? No, it was his partnering, though, with Adonai. Could he have done it on his own? No, Moses could not have done it on his own. Again, Adonai absolutely could have done it on his own. But he chose to partner, not just with Moses, but with the army itself. They still had to go out and do the fighting too. It's that partnership that runs all the way through that is so important. We're in a raging battle as well, right? Look out into the world and so many things are happening. Never mind the coronavirus. Abortions. Starvation, famines, so many things are going on. Just flat out darkness when it looks like the sun is shining outside. Spiritual darkness. We are in a battle. And we can't go into that battle alone. And I know none of you believe that you can go into a battle alone. But I still encourage you to press in. Press in with faith. Press in with prayer. And then press in with your actions. Speak to people. Know and be aware when Adonai is putting you into a situation to actually do something about where you are. That's where we need to be. That's what Scripture is telling us. I'll do the heavy lifting, Adonai says. You just have to do your part. Keep your eyes focused ahead on me. Don't look to the left and don't look to the right. Keep your foot on the solid path. I'll take care of the mountains. I'll take care of the valleys. I'll level things out for you. As long as you're in faith, as long as you're praying, as long as you'll do what you're supposed to do, I'll do the rest. Praise God, He'll do it, because I know that I can't do it. That's His promise to us. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank You for Your promise that You do partner with us, that You don't expect us to be the miracle workers. You alone are the miracle worker. You alone have power. You alone have authority over all things. So we ask, we pray in our faith that You place us into situations where we can go forth and proclaim Your name so that You may have all the glory, all the honor, and so that a lost and dying world will be able to find You. We thank You that You are the one who spoke over and over again. You are the one who had it placed in the scrolls so Israel would have it forever. You are the one who came to the earth as a man and then died on an execution stake so that we would have a cleansing, so that we can have a way back to You. And You are the one who gives us abilities even today, because You've never left us. Your Ruach HaKodesh desires to partner with us, and we desire to partner with You. Help us, Ruach HaKodesh, to move closer to You in everything that we do. And we thank You and praise You forever and ever. Amen and amen. Amen. That's as